Psalm 105, we are finishing up the fourth section of the book of Psalms that corresponds with the book of Numbers very loosely in your Bible. And it's had a overarching theme of the pilgrim journey. And I sure hope that you who are saved tonight count yourself a stranger and pilgrim in this world. I hope you do. I hope this world's not your home. You're just passing through here, and the world doesn't get clinging on you. Man, I know we don't want to be of the world, but we have to be in the world. But I'm glad it's just for a time. Just for a time. There's a better day that awaits the child of God. And I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus steps out on the clouds. Our blessed hope becomes sight. Our vile bodies are fashioned like unto His glorious body. And I am made perfect just like my Savior, and I'll be with Him forever from that point on. What, isn't that going to be great? That is a blessed hope, man. You look around this world, that there's no hope in this world. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. And so anyway, we're finishing this fourth book. It goes up to Psalm 106, I believe it is, or Psalm 107, one of the two there. I'll have to look back at my notes. I believe it's 106. And then we start the last section of the book of Psalms. Did you ever think we'd get to the last section? Man, I've really enjoyed this study. I hope you have. I'll tell you what I've gleaned from it so far. I have, and it's what that I set out to teach this to our church. I've gleaned understanding David's attitude and how he talks to God. And I think that's very important for us to understand. David's a man that was called a man after God's own heart twice in the Bible. God said it and Paul said it. And so I sure want to learn from a man like that. And I want to know how he talks to God and what he says to God and what his attitudes are and what his heart attitude toward God and toward the world is. And I want that to be mine because I want to please God just like David pleased God in many things. And so that's been one thing that's really helped me. The other thing that's really helped me is understanding. We knew this starting out. The Psalms are a Jewish hymn book. And certainly we can make great practical spiritual application in our lives from the things that are in that book. But so much of it is about Israel. And it's about Israel going through the tribulation time. And we run to Psalms many times when we're going through troubles and trials, as they sang about tonight. And much of that helps us, but we understand contextually and doctrinally it's dealing with the nation of Israel going through the tribulation time. And as we're nearing the end of the fourth book and going into the fifth book of Psalms, Jesus is pictured on the throne. And that's their hope, the nation's hope. They're looking for the Messiah. Okay. So anyway, that's been helpful. And then it's also helped me tremendously, I feel, in my study and preparation of preaching, because I'm forced to keep everything in its lane dispensationally, but then also make a New Testament application with it. And so it has challenged me, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. And so tonight we'll look at Psalm 105. And if you remember Psalm 103, the topic there was forget not all the benefits of God. And if you remember over there, it was primarily regarding our sin and how God has forgiven us of our iniquities. And it says there in Psalm 103:10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And I think all of us could say that tonight. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Man, very appropriate to sing how great thou art before this message. And Psalm 104 then is, so Psalm 103, we're to bless the Lord for all His benefits that He's given us, and particularly in regards to not fully exercising the weight of our sin upon us and the judgment of our sin upon us. Psalm 104 is bless the Lord for His work of creation. And I think many of you enjoyed that message, just talking about the mountains and the valleys and the hills and the water cycle and all the science that's in Psalm 104, science rightly so called, amen, from the Bible. And it's just amazing, man. You go out there and walk around in these hills and valleys and see God's handiwork everywhere. It's really amazing. And so anyway, we're to bless the Lord for His work of creation. And tonight, you're going to see, we're going to give thanks to God. We're going to do some things because we're thankful. But ultimately, this is the title of the message, We are to remember his marvelous works. And I'm going to put it in context in our life. Remember his marvelous works in our life. Psalm 105, the Bible says this, verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his what? Okay, I'm going to make some comments. We'll go through this because 45 verses. I'm not going to come back and preach every verse, okay? Again, context. Who's this about? It's about Israel, right? The children of Abraham, or seed of Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen. So Israel's God's chosen people, amen? All right. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed. Who's that? It's Israel. It's not the Baptist pastor. Have I ever heard that about a preacher? Oh, touch not God's anointed. I ain't talking about the preacher, man. Talking about Israel. Okay, anyway. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him. Even the ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also in their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of the ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land and the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for another opportunity to gather together as a church family. We pray you'd help us as we look in the Bible tonight. Lord, help us to learn this important principle. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for the work you did for the children of Israel in Egypt, and Lord, with Joseph, and and all the miracles that you did against Pharaoh and all the ways that you worked in that wilderness journey and putting them into that promised land and keeping your word. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, we'd remember it. Help us to not soon forget all the things that you have done on our behalf, that you have beckoned to our request. Lord, you've listened to what we've said. You've answered prayers. God, help us to not be quick to forget those things. I pray you'd help our church tonight, Lord. Help me to get the words out in a way that's acceptable to you, and that it would bring you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have in 45 verses, if you will, a brief history of the nation of Israel. And this happens over and over and over in the Bible, especially when it's dealing with Israel. And what the Bible says here in Psalm 105 verse 1 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." I was reading in Acts chapter 7 just the other day in preparation for this message. I'm reading Stephen's message, sermon that he preached to the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders, and they're putting him on trial, and they're saying, what do you got to say for yourself, Stephen? What do you apostles have to say for yourself? And Stephen begins, and he basically gives them the same account of how God took Moses and put Moses down there in Egypt and did all those things by Moses' hand, and then brought him out, and he gave the law to Moses, and he starts to preach to those Israelites the history of their nation. Time and time again, this is done. Paul did this. Jesus did this. David did it. Time and time again. It's mentioned in the Word of God, and his deeds are made known among the people. It goes on to say, verse 2, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." And then down verse 5 it says, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." And so this historical account of God's working in Israel and for the nation of Israel many times has been discussed in Scripture. God's covenant with Abraham is discussed many times. And here specifically, we're dealing with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then God goes into the discussion of Joseph in Egypt and how God saved that nation by one man. And Joseph's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. And then it goes into, if you want to outline it this way, verses 6 to 15 are talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and that covenant with God's chosen and anointed, who is Israel. And then verses 16 to 25, Joseph in Egypt, the history of that. And then verses 26 to 45 are discussing Moses in Egypt and the promised land. And so very, very easy to outline this. And you say, well, you know, how does that have anything to do with us? Well, the first five verses really are where we can give our application tonight, give our explanation for us tonight. It talks about in Psalm 105 verses 1 through 5, giving thanks for what God's done for us. You thankful for what God's done for you? I started to do this tonight, but I didn't know how far off track we might get, so I didn't do it, but if I ask you tonight just to, we're not going to do it, but if I ask you tonight just to stand and tell the church something that you're thankful for God doing in your life. I see the wheels turning. What would it be? It could be something recent. It could be something that's happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. I hope everybody that's saved tonight would be thankful that God saved our soul. Few of you are. Listen, don't ever let that get old. Don't ever let the fact that Jesus Christ saved you get just commonplace. That's one of the things that I just stuck out to me in Bible school this week, was that talking about Jesus being our substitute. And I was just reminded afresh of how unworthy I am to be saved and how gracious he is to save me. Don't ever get tired of rejoicing over that. Don't ever get tired of giving thanks about that. Don't ever get tired of telling people about that. I told our Sunday school teachers, and I appreciate Brother Dan doing this. I know it was completely unprompted, And the night before, I had done it. But Brother Dan and I both gave our personal testimonies to those kids of how and when the Lord saved us. That's good. You know, that helps people. The most powerful witness that you and I have is our own testimony. And so it says here, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. You know, I would like to think that my testimony might help some other child and encourage some other child to call upon the Lord because God's dealing with their heart. Well, God dealt with the pastor at 9. Maybe He's dealing with me at 8, 7, 10, 12, whatever. And then it says, make known His deeds among the people. Verse 2 says, talk ye of all His wondrous works. And so if you go down to verse 5, it says, remember His marvelous works that He hath done. If we take it from verse 5 that you and I are to be in remembrance and mindful of the things that God has done in our life, you know how good of an exercise it would be just to sit down one day and take an hour and think back through all the ways God's blessed you. Think back through all the ways God's answered prayers in your life. Think back through all the ways that God's hand has moved and directed and guided you. I was telling the boys down in Sunday school this morning about buying a vehicle. I think you ought to pray about buying a vehicle. I might be crazy about that, but I'll tell you, it's a nice thing when God answers that prayer. We were talking about understanding and knowing when God is speaking to our heart, and we talked about finding a wife, and I said, guys, you got to be praying and asking God to show you what woman He wants you to marry. You got to know what the Bible says about a virtuous woman and try to find her. Ask God to show her to you. And when He does, man, it's great. Talk ye, the Bible says. It says, remember His marvelous works that He hath done. And then it says, talk ye of all of His wondrous works. You know, if we don't remember what God's done for us, we're probably not going to talk about it. And so the pattern, if you want to go backwards, is remembering the wondrous works of God, and then to talk about all the wondrous works of God, and then to make known His deeds among the people and give thanks. And then what that'll do is that'll produce people calling upon the Lord. That'll produce rejoicing over what God's done, and that'll produce some people seeking the Lord. Do you wonder why there's so few people seeking after God today? I think a lot of it, you know, I think a lot of the problems we have in America is because the church has just flat out dropped the ball. And part of us dropping the ball is we quit talking about God. We quit talking about His wondrous works. We quit telling people about how wonderful He is and how He answered this prayer and helped me through this problem and took care of this need. And come on. I don't want to sound like I'm coming down on our missionaries, but I can remember growing up in this church and having missionaries in here, and they talk about, man, I needed $500 for this, and we start praying, God just sent it in the mail. You don't hear anybody talking like that anymore. Hear church members talking about, by the way, I want to say this. Some of you here recently have really, really, opened up, and whether to me personally or publicly, you have been talking about the way that God has been working in your life. And I'm telling you, your pastor needs to hear that. Otherwise, the devil gets on my shoulder and says, there ain't nobody getting any help, man. I'm serious. I appreciate that. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody now or call anybody out, but Miss Deva said there on Wednesday night, she was talking about how God had blessed her, and she was elaborating to Dad and I out there on the porch about how the Lord just really been working her life. I praise the Lord for that, sis. I needed to hear that. You know what that helps me do? That it helps me have some confidence. Not that I didn't have confidence in God, but it reinforces my confidence in God that when I got a problem, I can go to Him and get some help. The church needs to hear this stuff, guys. We need to know that God's working in your life. We need to know that God's answering prayer. So listen, anytime we're taking prayer requests, you don't have to have prayer. You can have praise. I don't need to ask for it, amen. Just, preacher, I got a praise. Tell you what God's done in my life this week. We need to hear that. The church needs to hear that. The pastor needs to hear that. And these youngins need to hear that. So now that we just mentioned the youngins, we'll go on with this. Parents. If you're saved tonight, do your kids know your personal salvation testimony? Why are you looking at me like that? Come on. The Bible says, if any man provide not for his own and for his own house, he's worse than an infidel, right? The number one comfort that anybody in this room can give their kids is for their kids to know daddy's saved, mommy's saved, and they may not be able to recount it exactly the way you do, but they ought to be able to tell somebody at least a general idea of how it happened. And then when you kick the can and die, they can stand at the funeral and say, I know daddy's in heaven. Here's what he told me. I know mom's in heaven. She got saved at this age. They need to know that. Grandparents, your grandkids need to know that. They need to know your testimony of how Jesus saved your soul and what it was that made you make that decision. They need to know those things so that when grandpa dies and grandma dies, they're not worried about where they are. They're with Jesus. It's the greatest comfort you could ever give your family. How often are we talking about that? We can fill our conversation with all kinds of stuff. But I'm telling you, parents and grandparents, those kids and grandkids, they need to know your testimony. And if you don't have a personal salvation testimony, you need to get one. Need to get one. Daddies, mommies, grandparents, do your kids know some stories of how God's worked in your life and answered prayers in your family? They know how God answered the prayer for daddy to find mommy and get married. I hope you prayed about that. Do they know how God directed you to be where you are and what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? The jobs maybe some of you men have that God's answered prayers unbelievably for. Do your kids know that job was given to you by God? They know the circumstances of that? If not, can I just ask you, why not? Because when they get old enough and they start looking for a job, what basis are they going to have to go on if you haven't told them those things? But if you've told them, you know, I was in this job and I really felt like we needed to move job, and we prayed and God gave us this job. Man, they'll go back to that when it's time for them to start praying about employment, and they'll start praying the same way you did. God, you gave daddy a good job. Would you give me a good job? I think that might please the Lord just a little bit. But you got to tell them. Remember what God told the nation of Israel over in Deuteronomy 6? He said, I want you to teach those kids. I want you to teach them what I did. Remember when they'd go into certain places and they'd build those altars and those pillars, and they'd say, God tell them, say, when your kids ask you what that's for, you tell them what it's for. You tell them what I did in that thing. God was intending for the parents to teach the children the mighty works of God in their life. Same's true for us. It sure helped your kids. Sure helped your grandkids. You Sunday school teachers, you say, I could never be a Sunday school teacher. All you got to do is sit there and tell them how God worked in your life, and they'll be glued to you like a TV screen. And it'll be a lot better than TV. Now, I want to say this. Well, let me say this before I move on. So, parents, grandparents, do your kids and grandkids know how God has worked past tense in your life and how he is working right now in your life? I think too many times we make God a has-been God. He's a right now God. He's working right now if we'll let him. It's not just what he did in the past, it's what he's doing right now. Amen? Okay. And then I want to say this, because sometimes people get hung up on these things. we're not necessarily looking for our kids and grandkids to replicate our experiences, but we're looking to reinforce those principles. In other words, my girls are not going to be most likely at Colonial Baptist Church in Charlottesville when their husband walks through the door. Okay, that's what happened with me, and praise the Lord it did. But the principle of praying for a spouse and having God direct you to that person, I want that replicated in their life. You see, so we're not looking to replicate experiences, we're looking to reinforce principles. Okay? And then also we're looking to strengthen their faith and confidence in God. And then similarly, when it comes to the church, how many people in here do you know their personal testimony of salvation? You know, it was such a blessing to me when I first took over. We did those Sunday afternoon Bible Institute classes where we went through all the different religions and how to address that biblically. But y'all remember I had those of you who took that class, you had to come up and tell your personal testimony? I still remember those. That was a blessing, man. That was so encouraging to me to hear how God's worked in your lives and how He showed you your need of being saved. And I just wonder, how many people's testimony do you know in here? Just, you know. How many accounts of God working in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ can you tell to somebody else? I find myself doing this all the time. I'm going to call names tonight, and if I don't call your name, don't get offended, okay? Don't feel like that you're inferior, okay? You're not. I'm throwing some things off the top of my head, okay? But I have used Brother Mark Phillips as an example of God directing a man to a job that'll help his family and keep him in church time and time and time and time and time again. And I appreciate that. I appreciate him telling me the details of that so that I can relate to somebody else. Because you know what? It actually has more weight when it comes from a third party than it does right from the horse's mouth in those things. That was nice. Come on. All of us in here ought to be able to relate and tell the accounts of how God has blessed in our lives and worked in our lives, and our fellow church members ought to know about it. And it doesn't have to be in a public prescribed forum. These things ought to happen before and after church, not during church, but before and after church in the fellowship time. You know how important before church fellowship time is? You know how much help I've gotten in after church fellowship time, just talking to people. You know how much counseling and advice I've been able to give as a pastor standing at those two doors back there in about 30 seconds when somebody walks through to leave church on Sunday morning? That, guys, that's important time in this church. So church members, does your church family know your testimony of salvation? Do they know how God has worked and is working in your lives? It's necessary to encourage others. And as we've said before, it's necessary to reinforce those scriptural principles and to strengthen their walk in the Lord. I've encouraged the young adult class a couple weeks ago to invite some of our seasoned saints, senior seasoned saints, there you go, over to their house and just have them over for supper. No real agenda, just have them over. And when they get there, just ask them a couple questions and listen for the next hour. And just let those folks talk. I'm going to call him out. He's not here. I know he's listening over the radio. I don't mean to embarrass him, but I appreciate Brother Gary and Miss Wanda Chamberlain. We had them over when they first came and visited and sat down to eat, and I just asked Brother Gary a couple questions, and there he went to talking. But he said something during that conversation, and it has stuck with me ever since, and I actually had him teach it to the young adult Sunday school class. But he said this, he said, God taught me to trust God and not my circumstances. And then you listen to his life story. Guys, that statement's worth gold, especially from a man that's lived it. And you know what? That'll help you if you'll sit down and talk to people like that. Those life experiences. Look, you're not going to replicate his experiences. He's in a plane crash twice. I don't want to be there. But my life feels like a plane crash sometimes. And that phrase, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to trust your circumstances? I'm telling you, that'll help you. That'll help you. I appreciate folks giving updates to prayer requests on where God's answered prayers for health situations. I appreciate it when the Lord or people talk about how God has answered unspoken requests. You know, sometimes we don't have to know everything that's going on in people's lives. That should have been a very hearty. We don't have to know everything that's going on in people's lives. And if somebody says, I've got an unspoken request, you just need to leave it at that and pray, God, whatever it is, you help them. Don't let that mind start running and trying to figure out what it is. You just let them and God handle it, and you pray for them and supplicate for them and intercede for them and let God handle that thing. But when they come back and say, I just want you to know God answered my unspoken request, hallelujah. It's great. I've heard folks talk about how God's dealt with them and helped them financially. Some of those folks aren't here anymore, and they would they ask me a question, and should I do this or should I do that with my finances? And I gave them my advice, and I said, I think you ought to honor God. And they did, and a year later they'd come back and say, Preacher, we did honor God, and man, I'm telling you, God has just blessed us. You know what? That just reinforces that the Word of God is right. Not the Word of the pastor, the Word of God is right. It's amazing. Listen, our church, guys, we are a walking, talking testimony of how God blesses people when we honor Him. Don't you believe that? Man. Well, let's go over here to 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, I mean. The principle tonight is remember God's marvelous works in your life. And give thanks, and talk about them, and make them known to all the people, so that somebody else might call upon the Lord, that somebody else might seek His face, and that all people might rejoice in the goodness of God. 2 Corinthians 1, here's the principle of this tonight in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Bible says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I'm glad He is, aren't you? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now watch this verse. Okay, if you've had tribulation, if you've had difficulties, if you've had trials in life and God has comforted you, He's shown you how to handle that scripturally in a way that pleases Him. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, and here's how we're going to do it, just like we preached this morning, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Simple version, the way God helped you, you need to tell other people so they can look and see if God can help them. We don't like the trials we go through. We don't like the difficulties. We don't like those situations that are uncomfortable. But if we would just keep in mind, number one, God's probably trying to teach me something. And then number two, when I come through this thing shining like gold, God will use me to teach somebody else how to handle it. It might just change our tune just a little bit. Some of you, I've mentioned this before, I'll just keep mentioning it because it needs to be said. Some of you have gone through some serious health issues. Brother Adam Linkus has dealt with cancer. He knows what it's like to take chemo treatment. Miss Rose Stinson has dealt with cancer. She knows what it's like to take chemo and to pray and ask God to bring you through that. And I know they have both been able to talk to other people about that who are going through those situations and encourage them to rely on God and trust God and let God help them through it. That's the way it's supposed to be. People lose a loved one, a baby dies, a dad dies, however you want to, whatever the situation, and you've been through that, you know how to handle somebody or help somebody going through that. Maybe you lost your job. I appreciate Valerie's dad when he was teaching Sunday school, when we were there at Colonial. He was talking about in the banks, in the banking industry where he was in there in Charlottesville, and mergers and acquisitions happening all the time. And he said every time that there was a merger happened and he lost his job, God always gave him a better position. Hey man, I need to hear that. You need to hear stuff like that. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if you're still working and you lost your job tomorrow, it'd be a panic spot, wouldn't it? Well, what if God took that job away so he'd give you something better? And see, having the testimony of a saint like that who's seasoned and gone through it helps just settle things a little bit. We could go on and on and on with examples and stories tonight. But I'm telling you, everybody in this room has got some way that God has helped you, some situation that God's brought you through, some way that you could testify and talk and witness to people about the goodness of God in your life in dark times, in troublous waters, in sticky situations, and you need to be talking about it. You need to be telling folks how good and how faithful God is, because some people lose sight of that in the darkness of their trial. So God wants us, as it says here, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And verse 5 says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, look what Paul's writing here to this church. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. And what? In other words, Paul said, I'm willing to endure somebody beating me with a whip so you get saved. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, verse 6 now, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. I think it's important for us today, even though we don't face much persecution, I think it's important for you to have some familiarization with the stories of the martyrs that died during the Dark Ages, even up until the 1600s and 1700s in England, dying at the stake, being burned at the stake for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when somebody flips you the bird on the side of the street corner, you don't lose your mind because somebody was so mean to do that. At least they didn't burn you at the stake yet. I hope the Lord just takes us out of here before it gets to that again, honestly. So our experiences and God's working in our lives can help other people deal with those circumstances if and only if we're talking about them. If and only if we tell them how God's worked in our life. All right. I like that song, number 370 in the Red Book, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Sometimes it's good, guys, just to sit down and get real quiet and just start thinking about over your life, thinking over the circumstances, thinking over the situations God's brought you through and how He answered prayer and how He guided and directed. I know He has. I hope we recognize it. And I hope we're thankful. And I hope we remember those times that God's done those things. And isn't that an amazing thing that God of heaven would listen to us and answer our prayers? That'll encourage you, man. When the days are getting dark and the circumstances are all over the place and your life's all shook up upside down, you just remember how good God's been to you in the past. It'll settle you and stabilize you for the future. He's still the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's always there. Always available to help. He's a very present help in time of trouble, the Bible says. Thank the Lord for that. I'm glad we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What we need to hear, though, is how God's done that in your life in the past and how He is doing that now. Because the days that we're going to face, church, are really unprecedented. The Lord tarries, can you imagine if the Lord tarries His coming 10 more years? Can you believe how far the world's come from 2012 to 2022? I think it's just going to accelerate even faster. Can you imagine what 2032 will be like if the rapture hasn't happened? I'm telling you, we're going to face some different kind of days. Evil men are waxing worse and worse. The perilous times are here. They're in the church. They're going to manifest themselves more and be more intense as the days go. What we need to be reminded of is how God's worked in other people's lives, how He's worked in our lives, and how He is working right now today in 2022. God's still at work in the lives of His people. Don't forget that. And talk about it, amen.